Community Church again. We're so glad that you're here. I missed a week, so I feel like I've been gone forever, and I'm always so glad to come back to Christ Community. It's one of the best places to preach in the world. Y'all think that's true?
Yes.
It is. It's awesome to preach here. Is it awesome to be preached to here?
Yes.
Good. Then we got something going on. That's why we're a good team. All right. So anyways, I love y'all. Friends, family, visitors, church family, so glad you're be here. There's a lot going on this week, but in this next little bit, we're going to focus on Jesus Christ. Let all that other stuff go. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, help us as we gather together in the name that's above every name, the name by which we must be saved. And Lord, we love you. Help us to focus on you, to worship with all our heart. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
is we did it for the first time last Sunday, and if you listen to, you know, K-Love or the message or those things on the radio, I know you know this song, and it just has the most beautiful message, and it's just one of those you can't sit down and sing it. You got to stand up. So we're going to sing Grace Wins.
Thank you. The opportunity to be here in your house and to serve you, and I just pray that you would speak through him and let us hear what we need to hear this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
Hasn't it already been good to be in the house of the Lord today? We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, so if you have your copy of God's Word, you turn there. Before we get there, though, just want to do a couple things. One, our kiddos are going to stay in here with us this morning. And so, except for yours, or do you want to go with yours? Miss Helen, and are y'all ready, or do you want to stay here? All right, Miss Helen and Miss Helen's group, that's 4 to K, 3 to K, 4 to kindergarten. 4 through kindergarten, if you're in Miss Helen's class, ready, break. Ready? Okay. There we go, Quinn. She's ready to go with her nanny. Miss Nanny. We get 4-year-olds to kindergartens. That's not 4-year-olds, not fourth grade to kindergarten. Not 40-year-old kindergartners. None of that. Okay. Hey, I was like, Michael, you can't go. Okay. Stay. Stay. Be mindful for our kiddos. Kiddos, be mindful, you're in church, and everybody else be mindful. We don't pinch. We have a good time in the name of the Lord, right? But we behave ourselves. Okay. Second, man, I love Matt Redman. He's the guy who wrote and sang that song. It's a great song. But that passage when it says, you know, when the day is ending, my strength is failing, and my time has come. I want to remind you all of some people precious to us. I want to remind you all of George and Carrie Sageberry, who's precious to Christ Community Church. And Mr. George has been told that medically there's nothing that he can do. And they wanted to keep chemoing him and keep doing that, which kind of put him out of his mind and took all his strength. And as you all know, he said no. They can't do any more operations on him than they've done. And they know the cancer is growing in his lungs and all through his body. He and his wife are together. Sharing things, what we heard today in Sunday school was this: sharing things, conversations that husbands and wives should have together before they go on to be with the Lord. And can I tell you something? Every time I see them, they are gracious hosts to me. I'm coming to see somebody whose days are short, and they know it. And they're looking at it. And they're looking at it and they're smiling. They're looking at the end, smiling and saying, "You want a cup of tea, Brother John? Why don't you sit down here?" And George is working his word puzzles or his Sudoku, and Miss Carrie's telling me about the thing that happened to their cat. They got a one-eyed cat and all that stuff. And you're sitting there going, you know, the white elephant in the room is kind of like, you know, we don't know how long, how's your strength doing, how are you holding up? And I'm going to tell you, they're as pleasant as can be, and they're just sharing with each other. And I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ will give that strength to those who believe in Him, so that we can like that song. When my strength is failing, when the end has come, I'm going to just keep on singing because I got 10,000 reasons. You can look into the scariest event of your life with a smile and with confidence through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We're going to look at chapter 1. I'm going to read an extended passage of Scripture, so just be patient. But it's the Word of God, right? And let me tell you, let me give you this choice. It's not really a choice. I'm not really going to give it to you. But anyways, think about this. This whole week, in the last several weeks, what have you been hearing on the news? I've been hearing about how sinful sinners are going to be trying to vie for running our country, right? Everybody's making all this to do. They're sinners. Hillary and Donald, just awful sinners like probably you and I are, right? They just got more money to sin with than you and I do, okay? So they can do it bigger sometimes, and they have positions of power, they can do it. But would you rather have me read from the Word of God and give you a picture of Jesus Christ, or do you need to hear more about them folks? Oh, man, can't we unplug for a minute? Aren't you glad for a place you can unplug and say, I don't want to hear any more about those sinful sinners. I don't need one of them going to run the country. I don't know which one, but I'm going to depend on God either way. And I don't want to hear no more about them. I'm so glad to hear the Word of God. Well, hear it. We're going through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to march through the Gospel of Mark. I don't know how long it's going to take us. We're not doing it all today. But, you know, Sunday after Sunday, we're going to be preaching through the Gospel of Mark for the purpose, the express purpose of getting a better view, a clearer picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you listen to Him work. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 1. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men." Then immediately they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Then he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and he taught, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region of Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with fever, and he told him about her at once. And he came and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her and she served them. At evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were possessed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. There he prayed, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him. And they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let's go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogue throughout all of Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. He strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said, "See that you say nothing to no one, nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for yourself cleansing, your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out. He began to proclaim it freely, and he spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Let's pray. Father, we've heard this word that shows our Lord working, ministering, on mission, with zeal, with dedication, with diligence. I pray, Lord, that you would make us, your church, as zealous and diligent and productive through the Spirit of God, whom has come to us in the name of Jesus Christ, that we would become more and more like our Lord and our Savior, that our priority would become the mission you sent us on, that you would give us a clear vision of our Lord working even now. He steadily intercedes on our behalf, acting as high priest and intercessor between God and man. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've worked so hard to secure our salvation, that we might come and just believe the gospel and be saved. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Look, we're just going to look at this. We're not going to, I know I've probably frightened some of you who know that I like to preach through every verse, but we're not going to. We're going to hit the high points, okay? I want you to catch a picture of Jesus, because what the church needs now, more than a Republican in the office or a Democrat in the office or a legislation controlled by one party or another, what we need now is a clear picture of who Jesus Christ is. That's what the church needs. Let me tell you what the nation needs. The nation needs a church that has a clear picture of who Jesus Christ is. There is no higher priority. There is no court appointments at any level that outrank the church having a clear picture of Jesus Christ and following that. There is no presidential office or any other thing that you can imagine or they can imagine on Fox or CNN that the nation needs more than us, you and me. And those all over the place that are faithfully preaching the Word of God to have a clear picture of who Jesus Christ is. And y'all, where do you get a picture of Jesus Christ? Make me proud. I'm your pastor. Where do you get it from? Yeah, let's go to the Scripture. Let's go to the Gospels. It's why we're preaching this, to have it permeate ourselves, that we might say beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's my Lord and that's my Savior. We're not getting to that point yet, but I love the Gospel of John, where Jesus, teaching as the Good Shepherd, say, my sheep, they hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they won't follow a stranger because they don't recognize that voice. They hear my voice. I wonder if we could get to learn his voice so well that we would never be tempted to follow another, that we would never be wooed into one camp or another here in the battles that people will fight in our country that are really temporal and insignificant overall when we look at eternity. I wonder if we would get to see his pattern of life to where we begin to say, you know what? That ought to be my pattern of life. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to be conformed to the image of Christ? Do you know the one who's working out everything for the good of those who love him? Do you know what that looks like? It looks like shaping us, even through good and bad circumstances, into the image of Christ. If you continue to read that passage, that's what it's like. Oh, we want to become more and more like him. Let's look at the priority of his life. Jesus had a priority. He comes out from being baptized. We're not quite sure how much time elapsed. Some people say about a year elapses between chapter 13, verse 13 and verse 14 of chapter 1 of Mark. But this is the beginning of his public ministry. He's come up to Galilee. His cousin, John, has just been put in prison. We know that that was a death sentence. That wasn't an easy time. Jesus comes preaching. The priority for Jesus Christ was to get the good news out. The priority for Christ was the message of the good news of the kingdom. Verse 14, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and this was his message. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, if we're going to be patterned after the life of Christ, how can we do that if we don't have the priority? Right now, I'm going to ordain all y'all preachers. You ready? It's coming. Ready? Y'all know I can't do that. It's above my pay grade. My magic holy fingers don't do that. But I don't got to make y'all preachers. Because when God made you a child of God, if you are born again, your priority isn't to become a preacher from a pulpit. It's become a preacher from your house, from your work, from everywhere you are, to proclaim the goodness of God. And y'all, it's not hard when you think on it. I know it's hard, public speaking and all that, but it don't got to be public speaking. It'll be sharing one-on-one. Matter of fact, have y'all noticed how effective the gospel is when you just sit down and talk one-on-one with somebody? It's amazingly effective. Y'all, we need to be a part of the proclamation of the gospel. Now, part of that comes from supporting local churches, but part of that is simply saying, I'm going to share when I have a chance. If you have a testimony, you have something that you can share about in proclaiming the good news. Because if you're saved, that's good news, isn't it? Hey, if you won the lottery, we were driving through Michigan last week. Lottery was up around $190 million. You know, of course, I got that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I just have extra, you know. I can live on $190 million. How about y'all? Yeah, I can figure that out. $190 million. Can you spend through $190 million and waste it? Something tells me you might could. I don't know. You ain't going to get all that anyway. You're going to get half taxes. It's going to take more than half. But the point is this. Does it make me rich having all that money? What if I had all that money and I was bound to hell? What if I had all that money and it separated me from my loved ones because you couldn't trust anybody anymore because everybody's trying to get something from you? What if you had all that money and it caused somebody to try to hurt one of your loved ones to try to get money out of you? I don't know, but I know this. The riches I got in Christ come without regret. No strings attached. I am fully rich. One day I'm going to inherit everything that Jesus Christ inherits, and he's going to inherit the whole world. I don't care about a little pie piece now. I'm going to get the whole pie later because of Christ. That's good news. I don't care who you are. That's good news. If you don't know what the riches of God are towards you, this is what they say. Look, they say this. I know you, first and foremost. Let me talk to those people who struggle with loneliness like nobody understands their plight. See, because you can be in a room like this and be lonely right down to the core of your soul. Nobody knows you. Nobody hears you. But let me tell you something. God knows you, and God hears you. Now, that thought can be both frightening and exhilarating. Frightening because he knows you. He knows all. If you're involved in hate, if you're involved in lust, if you're involved in whatever you're involved in, if you're a selfish person down in the core, he knows you. But he also loves you. Where there's some people you may have fooled, and you hope they never find out what kind of person you are. Maybe that's part of your loneliness, is you can't fully share who you are because you're ashamed. Let me tell you about God. He knows. He knows the shame. He knows the guilt. He knows the insecurity. He knows the loneliness. He knows the sinfulness. And he loves you still. You couldn't get rid of him. If you could get rid of him, he would have never done what he did by sending Jesus Christ. The good news of the kingdom is that it has come, and that if we will change our mind, which that's the word repent, if we will change our mind about how we view who God is in Christ, and we believe in the gospel. That believing is not just with your brain now. That believing is like a trust thing. You know, I was about to stand up on this thing, but I don't trust it. Okay? I'm going to stand on this thing. I trust it. When it says believe in the gospel, it means put all your weight on it. Put all your life into it. Believe with everything you got. When you do that, you'll find the riches of God come broke open and pour out on you, and that's good news, and you'll want to proclaim it. If to no one else, wouldn't you want to proclaim it to your children? If you found a secret that's going to take you from now to forever, wouldn't you want to pass that on like an inheritance? Everybody's worried about the dishes. Well, I got these dishes. I got these dishes. My great-grandma gave me these dishes, and now they gave them to my mama, and then she gave them to me, and now I got them, and I'm going to pass them on my baby. Well, let me tell you, your baby's going to break them dishes, or they're going to hawk them for something. Because people are different now. People ain't got no sentimentality about that. Be like, look at that. My mama gave me these dishes. I wonder how much they're worth on Antique Roadshow. Because we don't care about that stuff. We get our dishes from Walmart. And we don't care about all that stuff no more. You might be lining up an inheritance for somebody who's going to just waste it. But if you will use Christ's priority as what you leave to your family, being the gospel of the kingdom, you gave them something. You gave them something, and they might reject it at first, they might reject it second, they might reject it third, but something tells me when God takes you home and they start thinking real deep about what's important in their life and who they are, it'll all come crashing in, and that gospel that you left them will come in because the seed had been planted and the roots have broke down and it'll bear fruit. You watch. You leave the gospel. That was the priority of Christ. His sermon is elegant. It's beautiful. It's one sentence. The kingdom is two sentences. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. There ain't nothing separating you from the kingdom of God. What you need to do is repent and believe in the gospel. I don't even know. How did he preach that short? I mean, he had so much knowledge in his brain. I don't know. Anyways, he's beautiful. Do y'all see him? Then he had a promise. Jesus had a promise to those who'd follow him. It's that he would make them something. Follow me and I'll make you into the fisher of men. He told other people, others said, follow me and I'm going to make you something. I'll make you into a disciple. I'm going to make you into something. Let me tell you, when you come to Jesus, he makes you into something. Maybe you have a job, but you don't have a vocation. Maybe you have, you know, a way just to get some green, but you don't have anything you would call a calling. Let me tell you about Christ. He's not going to take your job away from you because that's good, but he will give you a calling. He will give you a vocation. He will make you into something. I always thought it would be cool to grow up in a house where there was like a family business and you got kind of wrapped up into that family business, whatever it was, you know, kind of apprenticed into it and you grew up into it, and then you got to take over after the generation before you when they retired, then you take over the family business. I'm not going to say farming because that seems too much work, and if there's cows, it smells and all that stuff, but some kind of family business. I always thought about a restaurant. You know, like we own this restaurant and our family's owned it and we just kind of have done that. Well, that's just not how we worked. It was close. My mom worked at FedEx and then I worked at FedEx. You know, but I end up getting out of that. But can I tell you something? My Father in heaven has brought me into a business. And business might not be the right word for it, but he's brought me into a calling. He's brought me into a vocation that's been going on for centuries. He's made me a part of something that's sacred, that's holy, that's ancient, that's beautiful, that's wonderful. He has done that for me. And you might say, well, that's because you're a preacher. I ain't got nothing to do with that. If you all know me, I ain't nothing but a saved sinner who's thankful for every day, and I just get to proclaim the gospel. One of these days you'll find out I'm not pastor material. It's been 11 years. Y'all are slow. I ain't nothing but somebody who's glad to be saved. And I don't know better than to get up and just tell people about how awesome it is. What about you? Don't you want to come into that? I got a Father who has a line of work and a vocation and a calling that he'll give to any of his children to share this and to make them into something. I've never been quite a good fisherman, but if that's what he wants to make me into, a fisher of men, well, praise God. I've never, like I said, been much on farming, but if he wants me to sow seed, praise God. If he wants me to reap fruit, praise God. If he wants me to teach the word, if he wants me to dance a jig up here while I'm teaching the word, praise God, because he's called me into his line of work that he's been doing for millennium. It's awesome, and he has that for you and me. That's his promise. Now, I want to ask you this real quick. I told you I wasn't going to talk about those other folks, and I don't want to talk to them long, but y'all going to vote. Somebody's going to vote. Maybe not. It seems like some people are so disgusted they may not vote. I don't know, but y'all going to vote. I'm going to vote. If I vote for Hillary Clinton, would you all assume of me that I would lie about things to the Congress and that I would do things for money to improve myself illegally? Would you assume that of me if I voted for her and that's what she's being accused of? Would you think of me if I voted for Trump? Would you think of me as somebody who would inappropriately grab women and talk and do all these things? Would you think that of me because I voted for him? Would y'all think that way of me? Because there's a distance, right? We're just kind of giving our vote for this person or for that person. We don't necessarily get attached to them. Let me tell you something, how Jesus is different. Jesus says this, follow me. See, if you vote for one another, I hope you don't follow the example that they've made. But when it comes to Christ, I say this. If you've just voted for him and you're not following him, you're missing out. If you just voted for him, kind of like, you know what? I kind of believe the gospel stuff, the church stuff, the Jesus stuff, the Bible stuff. I cast my vote. Here's one vote for Jesus. Now I'm going to live my life the best way I know how. You missed it. Because this isn't an election. He's the King of Kings. And how glorious is it that he says, come follow me. Come follow me. And I'll make you into something. Woo! Man, if I was playing football when I was on offensive line of Jumbo John Elliott, who graduated from the University of Michigan, who went to play for the New York Giants, had come up to me and said, hey, boy, do you want me to be your trainer so I can show you how to be an offensive lineman par excellence? I'd been like, Woo! Come on! I was in on it, man. I would have been in on it. But the Son of God, the King of Kings, he said, come on and follow me. Y'all, don't just cast a vote saying, I approve of that. Get off your tail and follow him. Amen? And he'll make us who he wants us to be. He'll make us fishers of men. Last, I just want you to see, when we see Jesus in the Gospels, and sometimes I think this is what discourages us. Don't be discouraged. When we see Jesus in the Gospel, especially in the Gospel of Mark, you're going to hear this word over and over and over. It's going to be the word authority or the word power. There's a power. We sing about it. There's power. In the name of Jesus, there's power. I can't sing the rest of the song, and I know y'all are saying amen. But there's power. You know what happens and you show up to church week in and week out and nothing seems to change? You start doubting whether or not there's power, whether or not this really works. Let me tell you, the testimony of the Scripture is a lot longer than your life experience and my life experience and all our life experience collected. And it shows us that in Christ there is power. So first, I can say I trust the power of Christ based on the Word of God. Secondly, I have experienced the power of God to change my mind from somebody who didn't think highly of God, didn't believe in God, didn't follow Christ, who was wrapped up in his own world, to someone who God has collected and emboldened to be a father and a daddy and a pastor and all these things, to walk with him. That huge change wasn't by my willpower. It wasn't through family. It was through the power of God. And then I'd like to tell you this. As the pastor here at Christ Community Church, I've seen things. I've seen God do some things. If you've been, let's just see this. If you were saved by the power of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand up? If you followed him in obedience through baptism, would you raise your hand up? Hey, if you've grown spiritually in Christ, would you raise your hand up? Hey, if you've been healed by God through medicine or miracle, would you raise your hand up? Now, where's the shortage of power? If you've made not only been healed, but been holy, and you might say, oh, I don't know about being holy. Let me tell you, Christ is our sanctification. He is our holiness. If you've been made holy in the eyes of God through the blood of Christ, would you put your hand up? Y'all, where's the lack of power? Where's the lack of authority? Behold, he gave authority to all who believe in him to become the children of God. That's John 1:12. He gave the authority and the power. When he taught, he had power. What's so awesome in this whole story, we see earlier in the baptism, the heavens are rent open, they're ripped open, and the voice of God comes out and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's what heaven said about him. He walks into the synagogue, and those of evil spirit said, woo, we know who you are. You've come to destroy us. You're the Holy One of God. Hell knows who he is. Heaven knows who he is. Both know that he's not lacking power, but what about you and me? Have you come to trust his power? Have you come to trust that he can do it, whatever it is? He can cast out that demon. What I love about this, and I'm going to highlight these two things. He pulls the demon out of the dude. He says, shut up and come out of him now. I mean, that's probably a better translation. He wasn't nice. He didn't soft pedal the demonic spirit in that man. That man was not to be a host for demonic spirits. That man was created in the image of God. He was an image bearer. He had dignity as an image bearer. And he says, come out of that image bearer, you ugly spirit. And he says to the one that had leprosy, the man says, are you willing to make me clean? He says, I'm willing. Be clean. And he cleansed him because the leprosy had defigured the image of that image bearer. Well, let me just tell you something. When I look at that, I see wholeness and I see holiness. And Jesus Christ brings them both. Man, that guy was not whole. His mind was divided. His spirit was divided because of that evil in him. And God called it out through Christ. And that man with leprosy, he is ceremonially unclean. It wasn't even right biblically according to the law. Jesus wasn't even supposed to touch him. But Jesus, being who he is, touched him, spoke to him, cleansed him. God brings wholeness and healing, and He brings holiness, and He does it through Christ, through the power that's in Christ. Y'all get that? There ain't no power on earth like the power of Jesus Christ. Let me speak to those who are battling addictions, because addictions disform you on the inside and on the outside. Addictions control you like an evil spirit, and they disfigure you like leprosy. And we have it in epidemic proportion, not just in our country, but even in our county. I'm going to tell you who can get you free and who has the power to do it. It's not within us, it's within Him and Him alone. The things that we do under the sway of addiction that break family, to break ourselves, to break commitment with God, can only be undone and only forgiven through Jesus Christ. There is no other. He may use a program, He may use a revamp. I don't care what He uses, but I know where the power comes from. You can plug a lot of different tools into an electrical outlet, but the power still comes from that outlet. And that's the same way with God. And let me tell you, if you struggle, whether it's an alcoholism, whether it's a sexual addiction, whether it's pills or any other kind of drug, God knows how to get you free. And I'm going to say something, y'all are going to laugh at me, but it's serious and it's something I need to get free of. I got a serious, I've been doing so good, and I had a brownie relapse on Thursday. It ain't funny, and I ain't trying to make light of it. I got type 2 diabetes. You ever visit somebody in end-stage diabetes? They've lost limbs. They've lost eyesight. If they're husbands, they lost the ability to be a complete husband. Oftentimes, they've lost the ability to use their own kidneys anymore, and they're on dialysis, which is a very unpleasant thing to watch. They have pain through nerve damage that runs throughout their whole body. Now, I know it's funny and strange, but just notice, this is the only addiction I'm just willing to confess from the pulpit to y'all, but it's no less serious. It's damaging me. It eventually, if I let it go unchecked, make me look like I have leprosy. Because I'll have ulcerous open sores that refuse to heal. It's ugly, isn't it? For y'all who have seen it. And yet, on Thursday, when we fed the football boys, I was, what's that over there? And I was pulling brownies into my pocket. Like a pill head in a pharmacy. I'm not proud of it. It made me feel bad. I mean, not morally bad. Physically, it made me feel bad. Because I'd been doing so good on that. Y'all, listen to me. I'm an image bearer of God. He doesn't want me to end at my end all plugged into things and all that mess and not being able to see. There's a preacher in town struck with diabetes who cannot see anymore. Only the power of God. From what we think is serious to what we might laugh at, only the power of God. And He ain't lacking any power. Okay, I don't know what your deal is, but I know this. This is the time that you can respond. People responded very differently in this passage of Scripture. James and Andrew and John and Simon, they responded immediately by following Him. There was others. They brought all their troubles to them. All those who were sick, all those who were demon-possessed, they all came and they sought out and they brought them to Jesus. That's an appropriate thing. There are those who sought Him diligently early in the morning. Where did Jesus go? They found Him in prayer. Then there was the one who was clean, but he didn't listen. Jesus said, don't share this with anybody. He shared it with everybody. I don't know what your response is. I don't know what your needs are. I know this. God knows your needs. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Him work? Let me tell you, He ain't changed. He's still working. And if you need what He's got, this is your time to respond the way you will. Let's close our eyes in prayer, and then we do this song, You Can Respond. If you need to come up here and pray, do it. If you need to pray with me, come and do it. If you need to find some corner quietly somewhere, you do what you need to do in response to God, but He's working, and He's powerful. Father God, I pray right now for all these. There may be someone here who's never given their life to Christ. They've just voted for You from afar, but they've never followed You. They just are glad You're running the show, but as long as You leave them alone, they'll leave You alone and they'll fly under the radar. Father, Would you convict them through the power of your Holy Spirit right now and let them know that you have something far greater for them? You're going to make them into something. Lord, I love you. We thank you. If there's any here who's struggling, whether they're lonely, whether they're addicted, whether they have things that they've never said to anybody and they're worried about it, Father, would you do your work and show them how awesome you are? If there's anyone who's been discouraged by not seeing your power unleashed in their life, Father, would you be with them? And would you secure them? Whatever it is, Father, this is your time. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. You respond to God the way you need to. There we go. I think it says it's on. We're going to take up our morning offering right now. If you're our guest, we're so glad you're here, and we wouldn't prohibit you in any way, but we just want you to know this. We take an offering for, this is our church family. God provides for the needs of Christ Community Church through Christ Community Church. If you're a visitor here today, there's a sign-up sheet. a card, an information card in the back of the seat. That'd be great if you want to put that in, but we don't require a request or expect from you. You follow God in that, but we're just glad to have you here. This is the time for our church to worship God through tithes and offerings. So if our ushers would come forward, take the morning offering. As I do, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for this time. And as we do worship you through giving, bless us. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got a special time coming up right now. Randy, are you filming? All right, we're good back there. Randy's on the video camera. Y'all, we've been involved for, it seems, close to a year in gathering up stuff for Operation Christmas Child. How many people have been involved in gathering that stuff up? Raise your hand up. If you've been involved in Operation Christmas Child, amen. A lot of our youngins have. On Wednesday night, they've done some things. And we want to say special thanks to someone who's not here but is going to see the videotape, Miss Bonnie Costello, who has worked tirelessly to help youngins around the world who aren't going to have a Christmas and who don't hear about Jesus to have a little happy, a little something, and a little gospel tract that's going to tell them about the Lord. Now, Miss Bonnie didn't do all this by herself. She had, I guess if we was talking about Christmas, we'd say she had a lot of good elves with her. And, behind the scenes, working hard. And a lot of y'all have supported this through the bake sales that have been going on. It's just been really cool. They really organized it, and they went all out. If you look over here, it's kind of a Christmas tree design over here in the corner with these boxes. And in a moment, everyone who sponsored a box We're going to have a moment where after we watch this video, we're going to break and dismiss. But if you want to be involved and if you've sponsored a box, we're going to have a time of commissioning prayer. Okay? We're going to break the service after this PowerPoint. But then afterward, if you've been involved, if you've sponsored a box, meet me down here. We're going to have a time of commissioning and prayer. Okay? And or if you maybe you didn't sponsor a box, maybe you want to just be involved in it. You're welcome to come. My wife is nervously pointing, kind of. There's 25 boxes left to be sponsored. What does sponsorship require?
$5.
All right, 25 boxes, and they're $5 a box. And so, if somebody would like to sponsor that this would be we're shipping them. It's being shipped. That's why we're doing this now. But if you would like to be involved in that, you can see my wife, Sarah, she's going to wave her arm around like she's crazy. And then Miss Janice Dre, she's also going to wave around like crazy. That's right. You can see either one of those two ladies, and they will help us do that. But we're going to show a PowerPoint. Is that right, Bert? And then I'll close us in prayer. And then if you're interested in our prayer commissioning service, you come on over here. Kind of catchy.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Every day, every day, every day, in every way.
There's 8 left to sponsor. We went from 25 to 8. That's pretty cool. 8 left, and if you want to sponsor those, awesome day in church day. Don't forget it. Don't ever forget. Look on to Jesus. He's got the power, the promise, and the priority that we need to live right. Amen? Okay, I'm going to close this. If you want to be a part of this commission, meet over here by the Christmas tree. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Wonderful day in your house. Thank you, Lord, for all that we saw just now in that PowerPoint. All the children, all the bakers, all the little... There's underwear in those boxes for those kids. Kids who are going to be happy to receive clothes. And, Lord, we're thankful for it. And, Lord, I pray all this, that you'd go with us, help us not to lose our cool during this time of election, but to stay confident in Christ. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. And hold on. Sarah has something. Go ahead, yell. Yeah, come on. Everybody going to be in the commissioning. Come on. Woo! You got all of it? They all have been done.